What's up, After Buzzers? It is that time again, and we're not talking grave consequences. We're not talking graver consequences. We're not even talking gravest consequences. Tonight, we're talking three-way to the grave, right here on the Lucha Underground After Show. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's so loud in my headphones. I love it. Guys.
I have epilepsy now.
You know what time it is. I say it every week. This is why you need to be watching the YouTube stream. It's a party going on right here. It's that time. It's that night. It's the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. Joining me as always to the far left. He's a wrestling buff. He's a documentarian, a historian, a cameraman, just an all-around. He's a jack of all trades. You can find him online at Jimbo in the Booth because he's Jimbo in the Booth. Mr. J. Frank.
Me for Lucha Underground. Ready to go.
Are you campaigning?
Yeah.
Me for Lucha Underground. Guys, conspicuous by her absence, Rachel Sam Evans, depending on how your brain works, will not be seen tonight, but she will join us at our regularly scheduled time and channel next week, talking episode 4. But in her stead, guys, I've been so excited about this for a very long time. I've been wanting to get him on the show ever since he moved to beautiful SoCal from Texas. You can find him over at UpRocks in the With Spandex pro wrestling coverage. You can find him online at Mr. Brandon Stroud because he's Mr. Brandon Stroud.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
It's a pleasure. I have epilepsy now. I don't know if you heard me.
I mean, those lights are... It's a party.
I'll be joining Lucha Underground next season. My character will be called Epsolicious.
Jesus.
My character is that great. I have epilepsy.
And see? There it is right there.
Tasteful,
from the get-go.
Right out of the gate.
From the get-go.
Way to shake it up on the...
If you're not reading his Lucha Underground coverage over at With Spandex, please go do so. Do yourself a favor. It is a treat. I've legitimately been a fan for several years now, so this is very, very exciting. And we've been making comic references and wrestling jokes, and
we're not very cool. We're not cool people.
If you didn't know already.
I'm a wrestling blogger. Come on, I'm the coolest person that there can be.
We're going to get the whole team together next week, and we're just going to see if we can make the universe implode. That's really what we're going to do. But let's talk. God damn it, yeah, I did it again.
2 weeks in a row.
I did it again. Sorry, guys. I'm a pro.
Forgot to turn off his phone. Matthews may have broken his phone
I may well have.
I love the violence on this show.
We'll deal with that after. That definitely sounded like I did. We'll deal with that after the show. Let's talk season 4, episode 3, Rest in Pieces.
Rest in pieces, the violence on this program.
I'm just glad I didn't break that monitor.
Yeah.
Boy.
The monitor almost rested in pieces.
My phone is currently resting in pieces.
It doesn't even have a little casket with airbrushed.
The airbrushed likeness.
Did they have to pose for that? Did they go to like a Dollywood caricature? It's like, hey, draw us on
this. Jeremiah Crane one just looked like that, like the Rat Fink, the old Rat Fink artwork.
Rob Zombie's like, hey guys, I got some caskets hanging around. They got Rat Fink on them. Can you repurpose them?
Dude, I was at a show once where a guy came up to me afterwards. He's like, I sell coffins. You know, and we got a few that we can't sell because they have dings or chips. If you ever want to use one for a wrestling show, give me a call.
I had a similar experience.
This is amazing.
I was at a wrestling show once and I had like this really like fat, pale guy in a suit come up to me and he's like, we sell coffins. Would you like one? It's very similar. It's not quite the same thing.
Just spinning image.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Right off the bat, let's talk Worldwide Underground, guys.
Oh, they're the best.
The Worldwide Underground. And Jimbo, you nailed it right on the head last week because we saw this kind of new version of Ricky Mundo, who's obsessed with dolls. And Jimbo very astutely tied it all back to those photos that he saw.
Need pictures, Mr. Quaid.
Several seasons ago that we've been talking about ever since.
And he goes into full, this is Rosa.
He found Rosa. He found her on the island of dolls, which is, if you guys don't know, a very real place.
I don't think it is in Mexico though. I don't think it's in Mexico. He said it's in Mexico. I thought it was in Japan.
I've been beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
There you go. I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere. Google it. Drop it in the live chat.
Just know it really exists, and it's super effing creepy.
Yeah. So he's kind of, you know, weirding out the rest of the worldwide crew. Just, you know, hanging out with Rissa.
PJ Black's face this time is just like, what's going on, man?
Boy, oh boy.
My favorite part of any Worldwide Underground segment is when they give PJ his one line in the segment.
Yep.
They're like, here, Johnny Mundo, he can talk. Taya can talk. Ricky can talk. Jack can talk. And then they're like, hey, guys, I'm PJ Black. What do you think, Jack? And then they just never talk to him again.
Nothing.
I always think of him on NXT season one where they asked him to cut a promo about flowers, and he was like, I don't really like flowers. Rose is a flower, right? I like roses. I can't do the voice.
Incredible.
Because he doesn't really do a British accent or
South African
African accent even. Or like an Australian accent. It's like a PJ Black specific accent.
Exactly. It's very unique. Very unique.
I miss the air guitar.
Oh man, that's right.
Air guitar back for
I miss the four part handshake. The Woe Bundy.
They did the Woe Bundy.
Into the handstand.
We also now that we've got Jack Evans with a fully functioning jaw again, he's gonna make up for last season, make up for his time as a mute on the show, and we're getting full on Jack. We're getting full Jack again.
Yeah, after his colonic, he's
after his colonic. We also find out he's not fond of snakes.
No,
because Worldwide Underground, they're currently beefing with the reptile tribe, but Jack Evans wants no part of it.
You're the dragon slayer, Jack. That was PJ's one line.
Exactly. He meant that figuratively.
You're the Dragon Slayer, Jack. You're a wizard here. I'm a what?
Oh, but we find out that Jack Evans has a match coming up right up next with the temple's newest acquisition, Exolicious.
Exolicious is fantastic.
Unreal. This was so good. This was like, I think you were talking about it like, you can't really trust. You can't really trust Matt Straka with commentating for really any Exotico, but much less Exolicious. But there aren't as many places that would kind of treat them as seriously as Lucha Underground would.
Sure. I'm a little worried about Exolicious's pronouns. I remember being in the crowd watching them wrestle and being like, I'm not sure what Exolicious identifies as. I'm not sure what to call them.
And
Matt Stryker's on TV like, this young man, this boy, this adult man is wrestling.
Exactly.
So I'm wondering if they just leaned into it to be like, Exolicious prefers to be referred to as he.
Because they would be the safest bet for sure.
Sure. I'm sure they asked Exo before the match. I mean, I would hope so.
Exactly.
If Matt Stryker starts calling Exo seductive, we know that... We know that she's a woman.
Exactly. I definitely need to do my research and look up more Sunny Kiss footage online because, this is absolute gold. It takes on Jack Evans one-on-one. Jimbo, what did you think?
I want to see him in Famous Incorporated.
Okay, there you go. Would
totally fit. I love all his thing was the splits.
Right.
That was a variation of, like, splits from an arm drag, splits into... Like a jawbreaker.
Right.
But the finish was the split X Factor off the second rope.
Exactly.
Insane.
Well, and not even that, but going a little bit earlier, the Avalanche Molina split.
Right on his throat. And Jack's face was priceless. It's just like, eh?
It's like the Undertaker getting his tombstone kicked out of a WrestleMania.
Exactly. You guys, talk amongst yourselves real quick. I'm going to go check on my phone.
Uh-huh. The thumb. Jack Evans was definitely a fan. Oh, he's going to... Oh, there it goes.
Oh, hi.
Jack Evans was definitely a fan of the thumb to the eye, this match. At one point, he just held his thumb in Exo's eye, and another point, he does three back handsprings into two thumbs in the eye.
It's pretty fantastic. It's the mountain killing the Red Viper, for pro wrestling. I really love Exolicious. I think that... It's a great character for Lucha this season because so many of the special guests have been like, here's Jack Swagger, here's Tommy Dreamer, here are these aging white guys that you know.
The straw man. Jimbo thought he was the straw man last week.
I didn't hear strong, I heard straw.
Braun straw man.
He's going to come out with like a straw hat.
Strong straw man.
That's...
So I'm curious to see, kind of going back to last week, I'm curious to see where they go with the Savage Jake Strong. Didn't see him. Didn't see the Savage this week.
And with Jack Swagger's blonde hair, I am curious yellow. These timely references and more in my pro wrestling columns at Witspan.
Nailing it.
Sure.
It's uprocks.com/
don't go there. I'm terrible. but I love XO, and I hope to see more from them this season. So
absolutely, absolutely. Now we're gonna move on. We're gonna talk about the rest of the show. But guys, listen up. I want to talk to you. Talked a little bit about this last week. I'm going to talk about it again. So whether you're on iTunes, whether you're on YouTube, listen up. We here at this network, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from drama to reality TV to sci-fi, all that good stuff. There is no network that works harder to serve TV fans. We are, after all, the ESPN of after shows. You know how it goes. But now we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Besides helping us a ton, here's what's in it for you. It caters specific content you already like directly to you. You don't even have to do any extra work. It brings you your favorite after shows so you don't have to go and seek them out. Not only that, it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. Subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows that we are absolutely 100% certain that you're going to love. Since you're already tuned into the Wrestling and Sports channel, you might also be interested in the Raw After Show, my alma mater, the NXT After Show, Total Bellas, SmackDown. We've got all sorts of WWE pay-per-view after shows, all of that good stuff. And remember, not only that, but we've also got channels for other genres too. Like I said, we've got comedy, we've got drama, reality shows, animation, all of that good stuff. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't me, because hey, guess what? They're optional. It's 2018. You can just click those bad boys off if you want to. It's that easy. Hit that subscribe button, you know,
button. Who's got the button?
Hit that subscribe button right now for an even easier AfterBuzz experience. And if you let us know that you did in the comments, we are going to shout you out on the air. That's an AfterBuzz guarantee. We'll shout you out. So thank you guys so, so much for being the best fans. We've been doing this for a couple seasons now, and you guys especially are the absolute best fans. We hear you. We love you. So thank you for joining us, and we promise to continue doing our best to serve you. Now, back to Lucia.
Can I be on the dog with a blog?
The dog with a blog after show.
That's still a thing, right? Dog with a blog. It's like a successful show that's been on for like 7 or 8 years now.
No. So quick update.
Did people like dog with an Instagram now?
Did people like Jesse more? That was a bad decision. Anyway, go ahead.
Quick update. My phone is fine, everybody. Oh, if you were worried, my phone's good. Okay. It was just the pop socket that came off.
It popped off its socket.
It popped right off. So let's talk.
Pop it, Tommy. Pop it.
Let's talk about Pentagon Jr.
What are you counting them for?
We got yes. We got the Lucha Underground champion, Pentagon Jr., coming out, cutting a promo like only he do. I love Pentagon's promos.
Yo soy. Pentagon Jr.
Like, why can't they just let everyone cut promos in their native language? It's so good.
Yeah, instead of Phoenix like speaking broken English.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's so good. And like, even if you're not getting the subtitles, even if you don't know exactly what it is he's saying, you know what he's getting at.
He's a pissed off ninja skeleton who is ultimately going to tell you that his name is Pentagon Dark.
Exactly.
And that he does not have any fear.
Zero fear. Mm-hmm. Literally none of it.
A complete absence of fear.
Absolutely no fear.
Mm-hmm.
Man. That's all you need, really.
Pentagon Dark, complete absence of fear, is my favorite Fiona album.
There you go.
I would love to see him on Fear Factor.
That's the name of his finisher.
Joe Rogan.
That's the name of his package pile driver.
Show soy, eat bugs.
But not only that, but when he hits that go-home line, it's also followed by easily, like, in a walk, the best music that Lucha Underground has ever used before. It's really one of the only songs that I can identify, like that and Joey Ryan's theme.
Brian Cage.
But and Cage's, of course. But that's just because, like,
he shouts at
the
beginning.
If it weren't for I'm a Machine, I would not be able to pick that song out of the lineup.
I'll show you. You'll see.
God. I love Stevie Richards.
How do you like me now?
Oh my God. You're hitting all of my absolute favorite, like, early 2000s.
My favorite one ever is Jeff Jarrett's "There Are All the WWF Superstars."
Oh my God.
And then there's me. Which is to suggest that everyone else is good. And then also he's here.
So after Pentagon Dark tells everyone in the temple that he will break everyone's arms and bones.
Lock a door. I'm going to whip everybody in here.
Exactly. Line everyone up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the second Ernest Miller reference.
Ernest the Cat Miller needs to be on Looted. The fact that Glacier and Ernest the Cat Miller and Wrath aren't on that show is ridiculous.
We interviewed Glacier on X-Pac 12360. He said he'd be so down to go to the temple.
Of course he would. He's incredible.
Every time I've ever talked to Eric Van Wagenen in my life, I've been like, Glacier?
Especially in this venue.
Yeah, it's an ice house.
That was the whole joke. Like, Vanilla this whole Ice season was like, yeah.
That's right. Oh, my God. Why didn't they connect those two?
Where's Ice Train? I want Ice Train. Oh. I want Vanilla Ice to come back.
I loved Fire and Ice. Also, the second Scott Norton reference.
We have a great Scott Norton reference coming up later.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. So, Pentagon Dark is so rudely interrupted by the machine known as Cage. From the 559, who is laying claim to this belt. Really, kind of, it seems like unprompted.
Yeah. Why him?
He's
a machine?
Now that he isn't, like, enthralled by that gauntlet, he just, like, he wants the belt again.
Maybe it's a Game of Thrones, like, everything rhymes situation, because in the first season when Prince Puma won the title, mm-hmm. Prince Puma was in the ring and was just like, oh, I'm the champion.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cage showed up and ripped the belt in half.
That's true.
So now Cage is showing up to interrupt Pentagon, and I guess he didn't want to rip the belt in half. But
this belts are too tight, Billy.
Oh my God.
You see, it's like poetry. They rhyme.
Exactly. God, your t-shirts are too tight, Billy.
Can he even afford to pay me? I don't know. Super Bowl Saturday.
I think Cage is so mad when people just stand in the middle of that ring and talk about how good they are.
Yeah.
Like that's
what I do, man.
That's my thing.
These are just men.
Yeah, exactly.
Good grief. I need to differentiate myself somehow.
Not a man.
He just
machine.
He's like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna powerbomb you off the ring apron through a table. That's what I'm gonna do.
Brian Cage is like the Chicken Boo of wrestlers.
Chicken Boo? Oh my God.
He's not a man.
He's a chicken boo. Jesus. God.
First person to send me a Photoshop of Chicken Boo wearing the gauntlet of the gods. Wins no prize.
His little claw.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Guys. I said it earlier. I would love if you're watching the YouTube version, just so you can see our palpable excitement.
Sorry, everyone, when
we make these references. But remember, you can also download the show on iTunes. And remember, if you do, we appreciate your support. So drop in there, hit that subscribe button, leave a review, leave a comment. Hey, if you're feeling good, rate us 5 stars. If you're nasty, you know, all that stuff. We appreciate every bit of it. But if you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment. We love it. We love the support. That's what I'm saying, really.
We love the support.
Thank you.
We love the support. We need more support for the new temple.
I also found out that Brandon can do a killer Antonio Cueto.
It's tonight. Not a good old man voice.
It's
and what sucks is that I was so convinced from the beginning of the first taping.
Mm.
I was like, that is Dario Cueto pretending to be his own
dad.
He
faked his own death, right?
But all of the content that they've had for him as a character has been Antonio Cueto, like, by himself reacting to situations,
That's true. And he's not being observed. So
he just went with a voice, and nobody was like, hey, man, you got to do that for 30 episodes.
Maybe
don't talk like this.
They could have got Ole Anderson to do the
voice. Oh, God.
My son Matanza will shock the world. It's none other than...
Exactly. Exactly, because I was kind of in the same boat when this season started. Like, you don't have that hair and that voice.
He looks like he's pretending that he's shipwrecked.
Exactly.
He's in like a safari outfit.
I can't remember if it was one of your articles or not that said he looks like Robin Williams from Jumanji.
Who rolled a double zero.
Exactly. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. I mean, we've got Antonio Cueto. We've got Godfrey sticking around. Make seven up yours. I'm excited about that.
Agent Godfrey Winter,
right? Agent mm-hmm. Winter? That's mm-hmm. what it is. Let's talk about this three-way to the grave.
Agent
match.
Winter is the worst of Marvel Comics' as new characters. Sorry, what were you saying?
Before that
three-way, we get the Phoenix... Melissa promo.
Oh,
my goodness.
Man.
Promo, but well active.
Forgot about that.
I don't want to lose you, Phoenix.
I don't want your life. a lot of slow kissing in this segment, which like, hey, like we're all right with it, but there were just so many lingering
such
thoughts.
A weird cut.
It reminded right. me Cutting. Of the sex scenes in The Room where yes. they only had like 20 seconds of footage, but they're like, we need the sex scene.
We
to
just
be a minute
gotta
long.
Keep replaying it. It did legitimately look like the same shots kind of replayed back to back. Which like if that's by design, I'm on board.
I don't love Melissa anymore. I love Mark.
They're the same shots.
In The Room they are?
Yeah, the actress didn't want to do another love scene, so they reused shots from the original.
You are my rose, you are my rose.
Oh my god, that song. so good. So let's talk about the main event. Let's talk about Three Way to the Grave. Jeremiah Crane versus Phoenix versus Mil Muertes.
Well, you were there, you said.
I was.
You said they cut out the whole funeral procession.
It feels like they cut a lot of footage from that.
Right, right.
It was from the first weekend of tapings, and I know Aztec Warfare was sort of, from a production standpoint, very awkward for everyone. No one was really sort of happy with how it came out, which I think was reflected sort of in that episode.
Sure, sure.
So I'm thinking that Three Way to the Grave, arguably all three ways are three ways to the grave.
the MMF to the grave.
The MMF to the grave. Yeah, Chinese finger cuffs to the grave.
Oh, no.
I'm dropped like a pair of motherfucking
Chinese finger cuffs.
But yeah, it was a very good match, but I felt like the live version was so much longer.
They
cut out the entire funeral procession at the beginning. Right. They were just like, here's some caskets by the ring.
Right, right,
I felt
exactly.
like they set up flowers funeral, for 15 minutes.
What were they?
Funerary boxes.
Funerary boxes, yeah.
And not only that, but we didn't even, like, we got an establishing shot of the one that was spray painted with Jeremiah Crane's image.
A little obvious foreshadowing.
Right, exactly. That's true. That's a very good point.
Now that I think of it, it looked like the Misfits logo. Where he's like looking through the glass, and you see like half the hair,
sure.
and half the skull.
Or it looked like the old like shitty Metallica logo, like the face, the little face guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Are you gonna crane them all?
It's exactly. Do you guys know what I'm talking
thumbs
about?
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Little,
thumbs up, thumbs down. Come on.
I want a movie review show where Jeremiah Crane's just like, oh I really like this movie. No, I didn't. And that's all he says ever. And then Gene Siskel's there, like, are you sure, bro?
This is thumbs up, thumbs down with Jeremiah Crane.
Siskel, Ebert, and Crane.
Titanic. Thumbs down.
We were discussing how much dorkier it is that he says thumbs up, thumbs down.
Like,
when he does
what, like we can see your hands. Like,
it's a clear gesture.
Unless it's for the benefit of like hard of hearing audience, or like, I'm sorry, blind audiences. Mm-hmm. You know, then he's just narrating his actions. But it's, yeah, it's a little weird. Well, it's like you said, like, with Batista, at least there was some sort of suspense in, like, is he going to like this?
Yeah. It was sort of a situation of, like, he's going to tease you with a positive response.
Right.
And then reveal his negative response.
It was a very kind of Gladiator-esque thing.
But Jeremiah Crane only introduces the thumbs up because you know it's leading to the thumbs down.
You know it's leading to the thumbs down.
Because why would you say thumbs up when you give a thumbs
up? If you're just giving the thumbs up. Yeah, exactly.
It's like the James Acaster joke where he's talking about how at the end of the night when you go to sleep, you just yell, no jobs! No more jobs! And then you go to sleep. And then you wake up in the morning and you yell, jobs! And then you have to do jobs all day. And then when you're done doing jobs, you yell, no more jobs! And then you go to sleep. James Acaster repertoire on Netflix is hilarious.
That's really, really good.
But that's Jeremiah Crane with his thummies.
His thummies.
The match was so much better when Crane got eliminated.
Have you guys seen, just real quick tangent, we'll get right back on track in a second,
I promise.
We've
been on track this entire
episode.
We've
been on solid
on
track.
Ice train track right
now. Have you guys seen where the scenes from movies, but where the guns are replaced with thumbs up?
No.
It's very good. You're just going to have Rambo like, going like that, and that is why you need to tune into the YouTube stream, guys. What else happened in this match
man, it started with a Reaper's Trident right off the bat, and then we got my favorite probably part in this entire match. Uh-huh. Was Phoenix going for a handspring, and when he bounces back to throw the elbow, Mil just moved out of the way and chokeslammed him with his own momentum.
So many awesome like reversals and kind of sequences like that in this match.
How no one has used that counter yet blows me away.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because so many people do like handspring cutter, handspring elbow, handspring enziguri.
Right.
Like, why not just step aside and just chokeslam the shit?
Exactly. And the handspring cutter like doesn't make a ton of sense. Like,
and Pentagon is the king of countering the handspring.
That's
because
true.
Every time you go for the handspring, you just drop kick.
Drop kick.
Which is beautiful.
It's It's legit. What yeah. would you do in this situation?
Yeah.
I'd punch you.
I would say arguably that Phoenix and Pentagon are the only wrestlers from the first three episodes who feel like they're operating at 100% already.
Right, right. Yeah.
Everyone else feels like they're sort of ramping back into the characters.
Exactly, exactly.
But Phoenix is just like, I'm jumping off everything.
He's, yeah.
His little, like, spring off the middle rope.
Oh, the Phoenix hop?
He's using it a little much.
So much. So much.
A little much.
And it's like you said, like, you compared it to the Marrow Salt, which is very, yeah. like... I loved the Marisol.
The Phoenix Bounce is a sometimes food.
It's a
it's like Cookie Monster with his cookies. Cookies are a sometimes food. You have to eat vegetables sometimes.
Exactly.
Phoenix. Just if it's 25 minutes into a match where you will literally die if you lose the match, you don't have to handspring and bounce a bunch. Just throw some punches, bro.
Maybe he drank some gummy bear juice. And
he's bouncing here and there and everywhere.
All over the place.
That match was high adventure that was beyond compare.
There you go. This match also led to one of my favorite calls in the show's history, which is when someone got hit with a bouquet of flowers. Matt Stryker just completely monotone, just thorns, obviously. if we could get that on a shirt.
Just a picture of Kevin Thorne that says Thorne, obviously.
God, I loved Kevin Thorne.
What is going on with Vampiro? We talked about this.
We talked about that.
It's like someone
speaking
shot
of
Vampiro
vampires.
With horse drinks before every episode. He's just like, oh, bro, hey, look, I think Phoenix is wrestling. Hey, bro, okay, bye. Like, he seems like Tina Belcher.
Exactly, exactly.
Like Pentagon's going to hit a package pile driver and he's just going to be like, I don't know. It's like he's very sleepy. I don't know if they established right. at the beginning of season two that he takes anxiety medication to keep the dark, evil
that's
vampire.
Right. That's right.
So maybe
Throw
he's
all the
like,
medicine away.
Maybe he's ODing on it now. He got a new prescription.
Refilled. It's one extreme or the other. It's either like super sleepy, pilled up vamp or like ghost pope vamp.
He went to CVS Canadiense and got his got his prescription refilled.
Maybe like amped up vamp is when he wears the bomber jacket and he's all sweaty.
There you go.
Ampiro.
And then mellow vamp is like the crushed velvet shirt he had on with like his hair slicked back like tonight.
It's very, very
crushed
weird.
Velvet vamp is when he's like feeling miracles by ICP instead of like songs about how they put their dick in the mashed potatoes. Yeah,
like, exactly.
Like how do magnets work, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know.
Bro, magic. I see miracles every day.
God, that makes me miss like Dark Carnival Vampiro. Oh. So
and
good.
Muda? Vampiro and Muda.
Vampiro and Muda.
If they don't reveal that Dean Malenko is his great evil boss, I will be very disappointed.
The great Malenko.
Talk about music. That music was badass. Dean Malenko's music in WWE.
Oh yeah, it was. There were a lot of guys that had music back then that was way cooler than that had any right to be. Like, I always used to get Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio's songs yeah, kind of confused.
Pretty much the same.
But, like, it didn't like fit either of
Mysterio
them.
Mysterio sounded like Bolero. It was like, dun, 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 dun.
So weird.
My favorite one is Chris Jericho's original one that sounded
oh,
like a...
Awful. Dun, 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 dun. It sounds like awful rock.
Like, the end credits of, like, The Fall Guy or
absolutely,
something.
Absolutely, absolutely. So... Let's get back to this
match. This is what this podcast is about.
Let's get back to this match. Let's talk about these elevator doors.
Yes.
That very like horror movie moment where just Mel Muerte suddenly is
he
right
appears behind him.
I was gonna say See No Evil 3, but it should be called Three No Evil.
God, that's yep.
Clearly.
Absolutely.
The door sticking reminded me of Ember Moon and Sasha Banks trying to do a drop toe hold into a ladder.
Yeah.
WWE ladders never really open and close how they want.
No.
And the door was like, oh, it's stuck, which is realistic because you never can
yeah.
kill someone with a door.
Exactly.
When you want to.
Exactly. It just looked like, yeah, like here's one door against this arm and then the other one against this arm and then sandwich. Nope, no sandwich.
Okay, this arm again.
This one again.
We're going to be running out of cake here pretty soon.
But Jeremiah Crane.
If there's a Mil Muertes horror movie, is it Kill Muertes or is there a better title?
Kill Muertes is. If there's a better one, I can't think of it. Okay, good, good, good. For sure. Kill Muertes. And it, like, Kill Muertes is the kind of thing that would have one of those grindhouse trailers, like with the El Rey announcer.
Kill Muertes.
Kill Muertes.
This Sunday on El Rey.
On the Kai July Roar marathon.
After 35 Bruce Lee films. It's Kill Muertes.
So good. That's very, very good. That needs to happen.
I want that job. El Rey, shout it out, baby.
So, I had completely forgotten that this was an elimination match for one. Mm-hmm. But leading up to the very first elimination, we get the return of Ivelisse, mm-hmm. hammer in tow.
All red everything,
Ivelisse.
I legitimately thought she was Eva Marie at first when I was at the tapings.
That would, Eva Marie in like through the lens of the temple is something I would like to see for sure.
Evil Marie.
Evil Marie.
We made a joke about how Eva Marie needs to manage Mil Muertes and be all dead everything.
All dead everything, Evil Marie.
Which would be good.
Exactly. Evil Marie sounds like a Garbage Pail Kid, but like the best one.
Mm-hmm. Like, or the worst burlesque dancer in town.
There you go. She looks like Tina Hyena from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Incredible. Which is like the bizarro.
Tina Hyena. Incredible.
You know what I'm talking about?
You're my favorite person in the entire world.
Amazing. This is what we do here.
This is like the Olympics of shitty references. Like, who can make the best one?
Usually, most of the time, it's like...
It's going
to
be him.
Most of the time, it's us bouncing them back and forth and then explaining them to Rachel. Because she's much a lot cooler than we are.
I think Jeremiah Crane was a lot like Super Ted.
Super Ted?
Yeah? Yeah? American Rabbit and Super Ted? Yeah, baby.
Oh, my God.
To tie this back into wrestling, yes. We also noticed that Jeremiah Crane has the cum splatter J all over his outfit. It's like he was like, hey, bro, I got this AJ Styles shirt from TNA from like 10 years ago.
Yep.
It's called Discharge. It looks like AJ Styles just like
was
let
that
one
legitimately
rip.
What it was called?
It was called Discharge the website. Someone, I'm guessing an intern, was like, huh, this looks like cum. Let's
Why
call
would
it Discharge.
Anything be called that?
I don't know. But it was the same cocked, locked, and ready to unload Valvina's font.
Oh, sure.
But at least he had a porno gimmick.
At least, yeah, that was the whole deal.
Right. So that was interesting.
The whole deal was his whole deal.
The match was so much better when Jeremiah Crane got eliminated.
Yes. Yeah.
It should have just been Phoenix Emil Muertes the entire
time. Emil Muertes, E-Kill Muertes. What else did we see? So we also saw, before we move completely off of the Jeremiah Crane topic, we saw that hammer break.
Yes, just, the hammer breaks.
Because she was really teeing off on him with it. And I did legitimately like that moment of like that kind of pain and shock and horror at this actual hammer attack, which I haven't seen since Chris Jericho broke China's thumb back in 2000. And it legitimately freaked me out. So she hammers him to death, puts him in the casket. He's eliminated in the funerary box. Sorry. He's eliminated. So now we've got Phoenix Emil Muertes.
My title for my column tomorrow is going to be "Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him."
Yes, absolutely. Yes. It should be.
Where was Van Hammer during this?
Man,
he should have been in the band.
He was cutting out a circle in his mesh shirt so he could show his one nipple ring.
God, if there was anyone that would be perfect for the temple, it's Van Hammer.
They should bring the entire flock in. Like, I want old man heroin addict
Sick,
Billy Kidman,
Sick Boy Reese. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gillis, let's bring Kidman over from WWE. Throw the Onk shirt on.
Is Ron Reese still around?
Like, still alive?
Like, is he still, like, a human? Does
God,
he exist?
That's a good question.
If so, then
Reese, if you're watching, hit us up.
Please come on, Reese.
Please hit us up. I really enjoyed Reese a lot.
Yeah.
It's the Yeti.
The Yeti. He was the Yeti.
I loved all of his segments, all of the Reese's Pieces.
Oh, good Lord. Do you guys know anyone that calls him Reese's Pieces?
Yes.
Because that drives me off the wall. Just real quick side note, guys.
It's like that almond commercial where the guy's like, I want almonds. But yeah, Reese's Pieces.
Exactly. They're pieces that belong to Reese.
If you call it Reese's Pieces, you can kiss my whole butthole.
So we talked about the handspring reversal into the choke slam. Let's talk about the flatliner reversal, because there's a pretty awesome flatliner reversal. I think, is Phoenix coming off the top
Phoenix
with it?
He just jumps off the top rope, and Mill's like, all right.
Bounce. He's like, no.
Gotcha.
Yep, gotcha.
Got him. Got him.
Phoenix is like, what if I bounce first?
Exactly. But I'm pretty sure it's that flatliner that spells the end. It spells disaster for Phoenix.
For him at Sacrifice.
For him at Sacrifice. He gets put into the funerary box. Mil Muertes is your winner. And I did, we talked a little about kind of the kind of telenovela scene before with her and Phoenix, but I legitimately really liked how Melissa played having to announce Mil as the winner, because like, it's still her job.
Yeah.
She just watched her boyfriend just be killed just by a giant luchador incarnation
but
of death.
She knows that her boyfriend is an immortal.
That's true. He's got 1,000 lives.
He does.
Yeah.
That's what, like,
or
his third
not
one?
Because Katrina has them now.
Oh, that's right. She needs that life force.
But how do you get the life force from a guy who's dead?
Don't ask questions you don't want the answers to.
That's a good question. It's got to have something to do with The Rock, right?
If yes.
Dwayne Johnson, that is.
Oh.
The Pebble.
one thing when he has the casket coffin set up in the corner. Right. He does that overhead toss.
Oh, God.
They should have had it open, and he should have just tossed him right in.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly. Just, like, the ease would just be cartoonish. Just like, in, door closed.
And the door closed, and then it falls face first. And yep. Just over. That would have been fantastic.
My very favorite moment of the match is when Mill was on the outside on a table, and Crane and Phoenix were fighting on the top rope, and Crane just kind of pushes Phoenix's butt behind him, and Phoenix
flying off
through the table.
Mm-hmm.
That was really well done.
That was all. I love moments like that in triple threat matches where you forget the positioning of another person mm-hmm. until it's too late.
It's all about blocking, like Alfred Hitchcock.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep. I also really liked the rose to the face, the big swinging rose.
Oh, God, yeah.
I referred to it as Jeremiah Crane tuxedo masking him, which I stand by.
Exactly. The way he swung it, like, you wouldn't have any idea that it wasn't a crowbar,
right.
But it's a rose.
It was a crowbar.
It's a crowbar.
Yeah. One of the best flipping leg drops ever.
Mm. Crowbar?
Yeah, yes. For sure.
I knew it.
Devin Storm,
David
baby.
David Flair and Crowbar, absolutely. Oh, boy. If you take anything away from this podcast tonight, guys, it's go and watch 2000 WCW. Era WCW.
Ron Reese,
it's
please come
than
on
you
the
remember.
Podcast.
It's better than you remember.
Yes. Ron Reese, come on the podcast. Ice Train, come on the podcast.
Please, please.
Ernest the Cat Miller, show up in the temple.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I forgot. Okay, so... We've talked about this triple threat. We've got about 6 minutes left. We're going to have – we had a segment last week with Rachel, but obviously Rachel's not in. So we've got a brand new segment. I think it'll just be specific to this week.
It's a brand new segment.
It's a brand new segment. It's all about branding, guys.
It'll be done soon.
God damn. There you go. Brandon, what's this segment called?
I'm lonely.
What's this called?
This is called XO Tag. We didn't really come up with a good name for it.
That's just what I put on the board. That was a placeholder.
Basically, what we're going to do is I spent most of the episode coming up with bad pun team names for XOlicious, and I came up with three really solid ones.
There you go.
The first one is Team XOlicious with Scott Norton.
Mm-hmm.
Vicious and Licious.
So good. So good. Or, I mean, like, that could also work with Buff Bagwell, Licious and Delicious. Right?
I just came up with another one.
Okay.
Team XOlicious. With Justin Credible,
mm-hmm.
Exo Manowar.
Oh, wow. Boy. Yes.
Team Exolicious with Pentagon is Exoskeleton, which I think is my favorite.
That one might be my favorite as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I actually can't remember the last one, so I'm glad I came up with Justin.
No, you
Credible.
Nailed it. You nailed it.
But I have a few more of them, so.
I like it. Tweet Mr. Brandon Strad with your Exo tag names.
Mm-hmm.
Exolicious and Enzo Amore. Exo.
Exo. There you go. I like it.
What's yours? Give me one.
Oh, boy. XO, XO. Jesus, I have no clue. I don't know. I have no idea. I had. Well, Licious and Delicious was just biting off of yours. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Man.
Oh, it was the Big Boss Man
there
and XOlicious as Bubbalicious.
How could we forget? My daddy Dan.
You could also team up Bubba with Mike Kanellis and call them Hubba Bubba. But that's for the SmackDown or Raw, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
After Buzz Show.
We'll get to that. So, real quick, we've got about 5 minutes left. Before we wrap things up, let's talk about the stinger at the end of this episode. We find out a little bit more about the canon, about the backstory of the Cueto family. So, Antonio Cueto, he made a deal to use Matanza as a vessel to become a god, but he kept a little sliver of his humanity inside that key. We've been seeing this key literally the entire show. We finally found out it contains a sliver of Matanza's humanity.
Because that's how keys work.
Yeah. You know, the way the keys work. You
and how did keys work to give him his god powers? You were recapping, you just hold
it. Oh, yes.
And it breaks.
It breaks.
That's how you use a key.
The shackles come off. Yes, exactly.
You don't just put a key into the shackles to get
out
of it.
No keyhole needed. No keyhole.
You don't eat it.
Exactly.
Remember when you ate Rey Mysterio?
Oh, yeah.
That was weird.
Remember Rey Mysterio?
R.I.P. Bale.
Do you think Batman ever found the Riddler trophy in Matanza's cell?
Oh, my God. There absolutely would have been a Riddler trophy.
The Riddler trophy
there.
On top of the temple?
And you have to, like, throw batarangs at the switches.
You have to stand in the street and, like, line up the dot that's on the side perfectly and then take a picture of it.
So good. God, I love those games.
Oracle.
Love it.
Alfred.
So.
That's all I can say is Batman is like Alfred.
So the key is destroyed. Key is broken.
A major key.
A major key. Congratulations, you played yourself. Matanza is a full-on god now. Which I was kind of hoping would be reflected a little bit more in special effects in this scene.
Like we've seen
such silly stuff.
Like suddenly he's wearing a cowboy hat and like a jacket with the towel stuffed into the top of it because he's a wrestling god now.
He's a wrestling god?
Yeah.
Wow.
Except for the canon, ladies and gentlemen.
So good. Mm-hmm. So many crossover opportunities,
Vince
guys.
Vince McMahon versus Matanza Cueto this year at WrestleMania.
So, or the wrestling god versus the god that appeared at, that teamed with Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
Just the beam of light.
The spotlight. Wrestling's weird, huh?
Wrestling's so weird.
So that's it for this episode. I guess we'll find out more about Matanza's godliness. And I guess his cleanliness next week. You know how the saying goes.
I've heard that God is empty, just like me.
Oh my God. So, like we
I
said,
I have zero interest in the storyline.
Remember to tweet at Brandon Stroud with your EXO tag names.
Mr. Brandon Stroud. At Brandon Stroud hates me because people have been tweeting about wrestling for the past 7 years. They're like, you're such an asshole. You don't like Roman Reigns? He's like, I'm not that person.
Who is Roman Reigns? Right. But remember, tweet at us with segment ideas next week. We may have a brand new segment next week. So yes. Tweet at us with your segment ideas. But until then, guys, where can they find you online?
I have this awesome El Chico El Luchador shirt. I believe there you go. He taught half the people in the temple what they know.
It's true.
Go get it at elchicoelluchador.com. And watch X-Pac 12360 and follow me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth.
There you go, Brandon Stroud.
I am at uproxx.com, UPROXX. We are an entertainment blog I run with Spandex, the four-time RSPW award-winning best wrestling media. Woo.
There you go.
Find me there. Check out Meet Me There, feature film on Amazon Prime starring Goldust, directed by myself. Asylum's Flight 666, about a haunted airplane that we just released on DVD and VOD. I wanted to call it Scareplane. I also wanted to call it Fright of the Navigator.
Jesus!
Or The Scare Up There.
The scare up there. That's my favorite.
Guys, you can find me online on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. You can find me on the weekends on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Saturdays, 4 p.m. Check your local listings. Come see us. It's completely free. Every second before Sunday of the month out in Port Hueneme. You can find us right here every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Pacific, for the entire rest of the season, because it's going to be a long one. But next week, we'll be right back here. Same time, same channel. Rachel will be here. We'll be talking season 4, episode 4. But until then, Viva la Lucha!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.